Welcome everybody to the Bill House Podcast.
The Bill House Podcast.
The Bill House Podcast. I'm your host, Cruz Robbie Villanueva, alongside the beautiful
Holly Nicole Villanueva.
What's up, babes?
Hello.
Let's get the show started.
All right, restarted. Welcome back to another episode of the Bill House Podcast.
Hello.
It's kind of weird not doing the intro anymore because the intro is already there with the way we redid it. But it's kind of like a primer into the episode.
I think it's good when we have a guest because it's weird to like when you get them on, you start talking to them and then you have to be like, hold on, let's start the episode.
Yeah.
And then you're like, everything that they talked about before, you're like, oh, do I want to have them recover that or just like not talk about that on the actual podcast?
Yeah. It's easier with the guest not having to do an intro than when it's just you and I.
Yeah. But it's been a while since it's been you and I.
Yeah. I mean, we did one, I guess it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been a while. Anyways. But the podcast has been coming out in time because we
scheduled them.
Whatever. Yeah. It's all good. So this one's back to you and I. We'll reach out to more people, get more people on the podcast,
yes.
Which we will have more people probably as early as next week on the next podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, this week,
should we say,
well, I guess it's not news, but we're in Florida now.
We are.
Right. So the Bill House Podcast has moved to Florida.
Oh, I almost have moved back, but we didn't have it here when we were here before.
No, the last time we were podcast free.
Yeah.
I had always wanted to start a podcast. Actually, it was funny because I was going through the podcast, like episodes, drafts, whatever,
yeah,
on the app, and I found the very first one that I did just to test it out. And it's like just me by myself, but then Elena's on there. But it goes back all the way to 2018. So,
oh, like when you were just doing it on your phone?
Yes. When I was trying to figure out how to do a podcast or like what I could do to start a podcast. And then I found out that there was this app or Anchor and I tried it out, but I never did anything with it. I just had that first draft on there until fast forward to 2020 when I finally bought the equipment. And I was like, we're going to fucking do a podcast no matter what. And figured it out from there and then started recording them and putting them on Anchor. Or Spotify for Podcasters is what it is now.
They bought out Anchor. I think we talked about that
Yeah,
before.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean.
But.
It's good.
Yeah, but anyways.
But
so
people like don't know the difference of the back end.
No. Yeah, that's fine. Unless you want to start a podcast and go to Spotify for Podcasters.
Yeah.
For all your podcasting needs. But yeah, last time we didn't have a podcast, but all that to say that I wanted to start a podcast way back when.
Yeah.
And just never got around to it until 2020. But yeah, we're back in Florida, back to probably where we're going to stay for good. Because as everybody knows, unless you're new and you haven't listened to us, we're military, moved back to Florida. We had been stationed here before, and now we're stationed here again, and we're on the tail end of our careers, so within the next few years, we should be retiring from the military.
It's crazy to think, like, you know, one of the main questions that people always ask, or whatever the case may be, is like, where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years, whatever?
I hate that question.
It's weird to think. I do, too. I hate the question because there's too many variables to, like, answer it in a good way. I normally answer that question like on a personal basis. Like I see myself meeting some of my short-term goals or whatever the case may be. But anyways, like what I was initially going to say is like, it's weird to think that in 5 years I will be retired.
Yeah.
Like I will be right on the cusp of turning 38 years old and have an entire 20-year career behind me. That's crazy.
I mean, you're dead set on retiring, right? At 20.
Oh, yeah, there's no question.
Just,
so I think about it, though, like, you know, people retire at 60 and still, like, have to work or whatever. By the time that I turn, before I turn 60, I'll already have an entire another 20-year career behind me.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, even then, I don't think you're going to stop working.
Oh, no, I for sure won't stop working. Like, that's... I just get so restless. Like, I brought this up yesterday. Like, we had spent a couple of days just kind of like relaxing and watching TV. And yesterday I was like, I got to get out of the house. Like, we got to go do something. I don't care what we do if we just drive around in a circle, but like, we got to go do something.
We had to get out of the house.
But I mean, that's just, for me, I just get so, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but like just sitting still, like not having anything to do. And I'm sure I would find things to do. Like if I was retired, you know, like there's more things I could do, but I can do it for a few days. But to think about people who just retire and are like, I'm just going to chill, not do anything else. Oh, that gives me anxiety.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like not do anything else, because I don't think anybody retires and just stays at home all day. Well, maybe there is. But I think it's more of a, it's more like of a freedom thing where now you get to do,
you can do
what you want. So you go out and like my thing, like if I retired and like I didn't have to legit work, I could just stay home or whatever, not worry about money. Then like the things on the top of my list would be working out a lot more, reading a lot more, writing a lot more, and then just having the freedom to go back and forth wherever I want to, right? Or wherever I need to, like with the kids. Like, it'd be cool to just get on their schedule for school, have lunch with them whenever they want me to have lunch with them, or whenever, you know, on any day, as opposed to like, well, I got to see if I can take some time off of work so I can go to the school, have lunch, or, hey, I can't sit down with the kids and have breakfast because I got to be at work at a certain time, that kind of thing. Yeah. At least for me. I don't know.
No, like, I feel that. I feel like when I think about retirement, I just think like, okay, like that's it. I'm done. I'm not doing anything else. That's how I want retirement to be. Like when I know shit, like retire, not like I'm retiring because I've served 20 years in the military. But like when I say, okay, like I'm done working, I'm retiring, then I want to be able to sleep in until I wake up, get up when I want, go where I want.
Be great. Like sleep in, you don't have to worry about an alarm clock to wake you up. You can just wake up whenever you want to wake up. And that won't truly be retirement until the kids get out of the house. Like even when we have days off or whatever, like we still have to get up and get the kids ready, take them to school, whatever it is, as they walk into the room, and like do all that stuff for them. Sometimes like we would take leave just to enjoy a day and we'd still have to go get out of the room. That was one of the kids. We'd still have to go to like to their school to drop off something, or because we have a meeting at their school, or they have some performance, or they just want to have lunch. And it's weird because, well, at least back in San Angelo, here, even here, it'd probably be worse because the commute's so much further. Like, it breaks up the time so much that you can't even enjoy the time to yourself.
Yeah, I think, like, and this is, I don't want to say it's a bad thing because it's absolutely a good thing that we have this relationship with our kids. Yeah. But it's like even when we do take those days and we're like, hey, we're going to take this day just because like we need a day of relaxation. Then the kids are like, oh, you don't have work? Come eat lunch with me. Take me to school. Can we be a car rider? And you're like, oh, I just wanted one day.
Yeah.
But it's like in their mind, if we're not at work, like they want to be with us no matter what that looks like or how it is. And I mean, I love that. And at the same time, I'm like, dang, like mama just want to take a nap today. But by the time I take you to school, drop you off, get home, like relax for 2 seconds, then it's like, damn, okay, take a shower, get ready, go pick them up from the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so you can't really.
Yeah. So you, I mean, your time is really not your, I mean, that's the whole thing with kids. Your time is no longer your own, right? You're at the beck and call of your kids.
But you know, like they're like, I won't say I know people, but I remember like me growing up, I didn't have the relationship with my parents where I could be like, not where I couldn't be like, but I just didn't, you know, say like, hey, go to school and eat lunch with me, or hey, will you come pick me up from school? Like that wasn't even an option for me to ask.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't have felt comfortable asking my parents that. So the fact that the kids do, it just makes me feel good.
Yeah, same here. I don't remember like having Well, I mean, at the same time, when I was in school, like, lunchtime was kind of my time, too.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember, like, wishing my parents were there to have lunch with me. But again, that was the norm. Like you said, nobody else's parents were showing up. Now, it's like when you go have lunch with your kid, it's
there's
normal
always somebody
because
else.
There's a bunch of parents there. Some parents are like a daily basis. They go have lunch with your kid, which is cool. And but lunch is ran a little bit different too now in schools, and it's just weird. But like me growing up, lunchtime was kind of your time. You get out of class, you go eat, you bullshit with your friends, then you go play outside, and then after an hour, hour and a half, you're back in the classroom. Yeah. But now it's like lunchtime.
It's like
so
20 minutes, don't talk.
Yeah, it's so strict. You're 25 minutes, and the kids are in there, and they have to, like, be quiet. They have to have conversational tones. What am I trying to say?
Indoor tones.
Inside voice, right? You have to use your inside voice in the cafeteria, and if you get too loud, then they, like, shut off the lights, and they tell everybody to be quiet and have quiet time. It's like, what the fuck? Like, this is lunchtime. They should be able to release.
It's like the one time of the day, aside from recess, where they get to, like, interact with their kids. But, yeah, I think it was just the school that the kids went to. But, I mean, like, I loved the school that the kids went to. But, you know, I think about it, like, even Braylon, like, she was in seventh grade last year, and she would still ask us, like, hey, come have lunch with me.
Yeah.
And we would, like, go eat lunch with her in the cafeteria, and she would just, like just thoroughly enjoy it. Like, tell us about what's going on in her day. And
yeah. I don't know. I think, yeah. So, with Braylon, I think it was, come have lunch with me. But it was more like, hey, bring me some Chipotle or some Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, like, she didn't care as much about us sitting there and, like, having lunch with her. But the times we did, like, I think, like, Holly's opinion, I could be vastly wrong. She could have been like, get the hell out of here. But I think she enjoyed, like, having us
there. Yeah, she still enjoys.
Because, like, especially on Veterans Day, it was, like, a big thing. Like, hey, if you have kids, like, we didn't have work on Veterans Day, but it was like, hey, if you have kids in school, come have lunch with them if you're a veteran or whatever. And she was just so excited for both of us to be able to go.
Yeah.
She even told me, like, why aren't you in uniform? Girl, I don't got work today. I ain't getting a uniform.
Yeah. But, no, it's cool. And you got to appreciate those times, too, when the kids actually want to have lunch with you or they just want to spend time with you at all. Because who's I listening to? I was watching something or I was listening. Oh, I was listening to a podcast, Dad Edge podcast again. And he read off a stat. I don't know where he got it from. But and it kind of goes hand in hand with the thing we were talking about last time with the tail end on that blog. But anyways, this guy said by the time your kids reach 12 years old, you have used up roughly 80% of your one-on-one time with them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and we see that now with Braylon, too. She's, like, at that age where, oh, she's been there. She's 13 now, but she's kind of, like, going off, doing her own thing, pulling away from us, not spending as much time with us or whatever. But it's just,
you know, I see it. But also, like, another thing that I'm just, like, very grateful for our kids and, like, the relationships we have with them is, like, when they're around us, they want to be, like, near us.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, I don't know. I can only relate it to my childhood because that's what I know. And obviously, my childhood was vastly different than the childhood that our children have. But, like, I never remember going in the living room and sitting, like, where my dad or my mom was and being, like, wanting to sit close to them or cuddle with them. And Braylon's 13, and this will probably embarrass her if she ever listens to it. But, like, if I'm in the kitchen cooking or if you're just, like, getting a snack out of the fridge or whatever, like, she always walks up and, like, will hug us and kind of just stand there and talk to us for a minute. Never remember ever doing that with any of my parents. I never remember seeing, like, my mom in the kitchen and me being like, oh, I'm going to go in the kitchen and give her a hug. Or, like, oh, mom's laying on the couch watching TV. Like, I'm going to go lay with her and, like, snuggle up. Like, I don't remember doing it as a young child, let alone a teenager.
Yeah.
It was more of, like, go to your room. And
yeah, I know. I never did. It was strange. I don't know. Just the parents of that era.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to generalize, but it was not as affectionate. And maybe that's why we're that way. I don't know. Because, like, I'm a very, me myself, I'm like a very physically affectionate person with the kids. So, like, I'm always messing with them, like, giving them hugs and kisses and all that stuff, like, as often as I can. And I don't know, maybe it stems from, like, something that, because I didn't get as much as that when I was growing up, whatever. But that was kind of, like, the norm, I guess. And
I don't know, like, I think we've talked about it on here before on one of the a million podcasts that we've done, but it's like 128 podcasts that we've done. But like, growing up, and again, like, we're kind of going on a tangent here, but I'll continue it. Like, I remember always when I got off the phone with somebody or I was leaving somewhere, I would always say, like, I love you to my immediate family. Like, brothers, sisters, parents, step-parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles type situation.
Yeah, I never did that. I still don't do that.
Yeah, like, you don't do it, or you didn't do it with your family. But, like, our kids, all the time they say it. Like,
yeah.
It's just like a vocal reminder. And I'm very big on it, too. Like, even if we're just laying on the couch, I'm like, hey, I love you. And they're like, I love you, too. Mm. But Elena's getting to the point where, like, she'll say it. And if you don't hear, she'll be like, I love you.
Yeah, she gets angry.
But I remember, like, when we first started saying I love you to each other, and I would say it to you on the phone, you would kind of be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was weird. I actually, it's not a, I mean, that's another thing, too. Like, growing up, like, saying I love you is not really a big thing. Like, we said it, but it was rare, very rare. So we definitely didn't say it, like, at the end of phone conversations. I've probably told Eddie or even Ortiz, like, I love you more than some of my family members.
Yeah. Well, it was funny today. Like, I was talking to my brother on the phone and I got off the phone and I was like, okay, love you. Like, talk to you in a few days or whatever. And Elena was like, excuse me, who did you just say I love you to? I was like, first off, calm down. but like, it's just, that was normal for me. Like, I grew up vocally saying I love you. But I don't know, like, it'll sound bad when I say it, but it was more of like a,
like a closer,
like an, like, you just said it because it was like saying hi, or
it was a thing to end the conversation.
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, I wasn't thinking like, man, I really love this person. Like I do now when I say it to, like, my parents or my siblings. But then it was just almost like a reaction, you know, you're like, all right, see you, love you. And then you're out. Like, it wasn't a conscious effort like I do with my kids, where it's like, you know, no matter what it is, I'm like, hey, I'm proud of you. I love you. You know, like, and I'm saying it with conviction, like, I love you. And they know that. But it's just, I don't know, it's just different times, different ways we were raised and parenting. But
I mean, I would venture to guess that that's part of the reason why we're like that. At least for me, I think that's part of the reason why I'm like that too. Like, saying I love you all the time, or being, like, physically affectionate with the kids, like, giving them hugs and kisses, or snuggling up with them, or just playing with them, or whatever it is. Because I didn't get a lot of that growing up, and not because my parents are jerks or not. That's just that's kind of how it was. That's how what they knew, and that's.
I think we just built those relationships with our own kids, not necessarily because we didn't have them, but just, like, the closeness. Because, like, when we first got to Florida a few weeks ago, I roasted my ass in the sun on the beach. Like, I was sunburnt. And it happens to me every year, like, no matter where I live at or what. I'll get one, like, really bad sunburn. This year I got it twice, because once was on the front, once was on the back. But that's besides the point.
Got to even it out.
And that's what I was trying to do, and then I was sunburnt my ass, but that's besides the point. But I was just laying in bed, and I was like, oh, like, I had the aloe vera lotion. I was so sore, and you were laying in here watching TV, but all three of the girls were, like, in our bed. And I was like, oh, like, it's like those moments where you're, like, thankful that the kids want to be close to you, but also, like, I just want you to not touch me. But, yeah, it's interesting, the differences, but I still find it interesting, like, when you talk to your dad, because you talk to your dad pretty frequently. Almost, you didn't talk to him today, it's Sunday.
No, yeah.
You talk to him almost every Sunday. But, like, when you guys get off the phone, like, you don't say, I love you, and I always am like,
Yeah.
But I think, like, your dad would find it weird if you said it.
It would. I've thought about saying it to him, and I'm just like, it's too weird. Like, he knows that I love him, but it's too weird. And I don't know. Like, my dad is just, he's not an emotional guy. Like, he grew up like your typical man. It's like, just shove all your feelings down. Don't show any real affection, whatever type deal. And like, his way of like showing love is like joking around with you, or he like pats you or whatever. And so, I mean, I get it, but it's weird. So if I came out now and like ended a conversation, I was like, all right, love you. It's almost like, what's wrong? What's going on? Is something happening? Like, why are you saying it? Like, I think that's how it would go. But yeah,
you should try it out.
Yeah, it's weird. None of my family members, like, I don't think we've ended with, like, if we said I love you, it's because like something, like I said, something happened, or it was like a real emotional time, or I don't know, something. But it was just normal day to day conversation, like,
never,
not ending with I love you.
Yeah.
Those are usually like goodbyes. So like when we go visit and take off, like, I love yous were thrown around, but that's about it.
It's interesting. It's just like different family dynamics. Because there are some people who, like, they'll hear, and I just bring it up because one of, I think it was Elena's friends, she had like a sleepover for her birthday and there were some kids over. And she came and gave me a kiss goodnight. And I was like, okay, I love you. And one of her friends was like, your mom says I love you. And I was thinking, like, how odd that, like, this tiny little human finds it weird that, like, a parent would say I love you to their child.
Yeah.
But.
I don't know. Different perspectives, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I'm glad we do it that way. And it is great when the kids are just randomly like, I love you, or for everything. Like, you help them out to get something from the kitchen. They're like, okay, thank you. Love you.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, love you too.
Yeah. I want to continue to say it a lot just because I like it. But I wonder if to them it's almost like an instinctive, like, comment, you know? I don't think so.
I think it is, but not because they don't mean it.
Yeah.
Or they don't feel it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they say it, like, just randomly. Like, if we're all just, like, hanging out, watching a movie or something, I'm like, hey, I love you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. We went in a totally different direction from, like,
what we said.
We were living in Florida to, like, parenting differences between now and how we were raised. But parenting podcasts are always great.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're back in Florida, and Sunnyfoot couldn't be happier. We're probably going to end up retiring here. We'll see how it goes in the next few years. There's
some question marks.
Yeah, there's some
hanging out there.
Yeah, there's some different factors that'll play into it, but more than likely we'll be retiring the next few years here in Florida, and this will be home base.
You know, just thinking about retirement, or talking about retirement, I've really, like, thought about some of the factors. Like, what if I'm a year and a half out from retirement and my name's on the senior list, like senior master sergeant? And, you know, there may be some drastic changes between now and in a year and a half, 2 years. But I can't see it. Like, I think if I made senior, like, I found out I made senior on the first try, which is not going to happen, let's be honest. But, like, let's say all the stars align and I make senior on the first time. I think I wouldn't have to get an active duty service commitment. Like, I would have to get one, but I think it would keep me within the enlistment that I'm already in. I don't think it would extend past, because, like, what I'm in right now.
So it might. It might, because you'll
be. But maybe
be,
like, a few months. It wouldn't be, like, years.
Yeah.
You know, if it was like, hey, you have to get a 3-year active duty service commitment, and instead of retiring in August, you retire in October.
That's not the problem, though. The problem is that, and an active duty service commitment means, like, hey, you have to sign off for, or you have to do an extra so many years in order to put on this rank, which is typically 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I can't remember. 2 years to master, maybe 2 years to senior and 3 to chief.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to look.
Anyways, you have to give the military those years in order to fulfill your rank or whatever. But the problem is having to move. So more than likely, if you earn the rank, this is not going to be the place where you use it. So that's the issue with promotion for us.
Yeah, like there's pros and cons, and I feel like when you get to that point in your career, it's easier for you to have those like candid conversations, especially with the assignments team, where you can be like, "Hey, I'm really considering this. Can you just tell me if this is an option? Like, if you can 100% tell me like there is no option that I can stay here, I would absolutely not accept it, you know." But like, there's too many factors in play. There's too many factors in play of like what year I would make it if I made it, what year you would make it if you made it, like where in what year in school the kids would be in. Like, there's too many moving pieces, I would say. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be a tough decision if that time ever comes. Because this is where we want to be ultimately for the long run. So I don't know. We have a pretty good setup here. So we'll see. We'll see in a couple years, I guess.
We'll see in a few weeks once we figure out what our lives are going to look like.
Oh, I know. Ugh. All right. But yeah, anyway, so this podcast wasn't supposed to be about that.
It was fun though.
Yeah, it's great. It's always good when we go into different tangents and topics on podcasts, as we usually do, which is always great. But a few weeks ago, actually, you wrote the blog post.
I did. First one.
Yeah, first one for something called 50 Before 50. Go out there and read it if you haven't read it. But basically, it's like 50 things that you should do or that you want to do before you turn 50. And I'm only 10 years away. So, and we've done some of those things. And anyways, Holly kind of like detailed it out on the blog post, some of the things that we've done and some of the things that were on our list. And we did this list like way back in 2016. And we've done some of those things, but now that we look at the list, some of those things are kind of like, why is that on there? We'll go through the list real quick.
I think there's, we'll go through it. Like, I have literally scoured the interwebs, if you will, for the article that I read, like, years ago when we made this list. Do you remember what year that we made the list? It's on the blog post.
You said 2016.
And I can't find that article anywhere. But essentially, you sit down with your spouse and you basically make a list of 50 goals that you would like to complete before you turn 50 years old, keeping in mind that you and your spouse are probably different ages, keeping in mind that you may have done some of these things already that your spouse hasn't done, or also some things that like I want to do that you definitely do not want to do, and some things that you wanted to do that I definitely have no desire for. And we'll kind of talk through that as we go through the list of, hey, this is something that we both want to do and we have done it, or this is something that you want to, I want to, or now in life, neither of us would care to do.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll go through the list real quick on the things that we have and we'll just like talk about each one. So the first thing, and again, this was back in 2016 when we made this, probably gonna be different now. But the first one was go on a cruise. We did that at the time. We had never been on a cruise. We've done two so far, and they've been great. They've been fun. Like, you love the cruises. I think the cruises are a good time. I don't consider them like traveling the world or.
I don't consider them like traveling the world, but I definitely think some of the places that we went to at our ports, like we would have never have gone to, like. Like, I would have never said, like, you know where we should go on vacation to? Honduras.
Yeah.
So it was good to, like, go see Honduras. Again, a place that I probably never would have gone to. But, like, there are... So where we're at in our cruise spectacle now was like, I would like to take the kids on a cruise, and you would not like to take the kids on a cruise.
Yeah. Maybe when they get a little bit older. Right now, I'm still kind of like when they can go around on the ship by themselves, yeah. It is a comfortable age where I think we should take them.
So I think no matter what cruise ship you cruise with, until the kids are 15, they can't just like roam. I think 15 is the age. But most cruise ships that I've like researched, they have like a kids corner type thing. And it's like a camp basically that they go to, and like all the kids on the ship are there, and they all hang out and make friends and like watch movies and do all this random shit.
Yeah.
But my brother took his kids on there, and he said like his kids never wanted to leave the kids corner.
Which, like, I'm not disputing that it's like not fun for them or anything like that. My personal worry are like emergencies. For one, like somebody's always fucking falling off the ship.
Yeah.
Both cruises that we've been on, people have fallen off. And then you hear about it all the fucking time. Second is like for real emergencies, like the last thing that I want to be going through is getting the kids through it.
Yeah.
Like whatever it is, like that cruise ship that got stuck in the middle of the ocean, or they didn't have power, whatever the fuck happened. And they were on there for like weeks, and they were leaving their fucking shit in the hallway. They ran out of food, like that kind of stuff. Like, the chance of it happening, granted, are not that great, but still. And like in that position, there's nowhere to go. You're on a cruise ship.
Yeah, there's
whether
you
like it or not. That's it. And I just worry about that kind of thing. And I don't know. And then like if we took the kids on a cruise, I would not be able to have a good time.
Yeah, I think like when we think about cruising, like you and I, like we go to like have a good time, like be adults, like do that. But I just think that, and I'm sure you will disagree with this, but I think like we have had a lot of experiences, you and I, like going on adult vacations that I really would like for the kids to have. So for me, like the first time I ever left the United States of America ever was on our first cruise when I was like, I don't know how old I was. In 2018 is when we went.
2017.
So, like, I don't want the kids to be, like, that far into life and not, like, have these experiences. So that's not necessarily saying they want to go on a cruise. I think just, like, when it comes to the kids, for you, your mind always goes to, like, worst case scenario, what this would look like. And for me, it's like, hey, it's just an experience that the that we're giving the kids that like we never would have been able to have for ourselves, or something that they would like. So a big one for me is like, for cruising specific, and then we'll move on from this, is like, I would like to take a cruise to the Bahamas with the kids. And that's, like a U.S. territory. You are in international waters, but for a very short amount of time before you're in the Bahamas. And those are typically like 3 or 4 day cruises. They're shorter cruises. But also, like, I do have those fears of, like, cruising with the kids, even though I still want to do it. But, like, I think there's, like, you could worst case scenario, like, anything that you do. So, I just, yeah, that's how I feel about cruising. But if you haven't been on a cruise, highly recommend it. If we did go on a cruise with the kids, I would not want to go on Carnival. I would want to go on, like, Royal Caribbean or one of the nicer cruise lines that I would feel more comfortable taking the kids on. One of the more family oriented ones, should I say.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did that. That was number one on the list. Number two was parasail, which we done, which was cool.
Where did we parasail?
We went to Destin and we did parasailing in Destin, which is cool. It was fun. Like you're high as fuck when it, not like high smoking high, but like high in the air, in the parasail. And it's cool. It's fun. The only thing I don't like is just being in the water, because you're in the ocean. And I don't know. I have this fear of the ocean because there's sharks and so many other things that can hurt you and kill you and whatever. There are monsters in there. And so when they drop you, you just drop in the middle of the ocean. You kind of just have to sit there until they come and pick you up, which is not right away because they slowly drop you into the ocean.
No, we didn't sit in the water for a long time.
It was a long time for me.
It was was maybe like 2 minutes.
That's a long time. That is a long time in the middle of the ocean. That was the only negative.
Like, I have a healthy fear of the ocean. Of like, I know it's vast. I know there are things in there that are very dangerous. But I'm not frightened of just being in the ocean. I don't necessarily think that I'm scared of the ocean, but like easily startled would be. Like, I don't want to be in the ocean and see a shark. Like, I know they're there. I don't want to see it. But I did. Parasailing was a good time. That was one of the days where we just took a day off of work and like went and did a, like, had a relaxing day.
Yes.
Out in Destin.
Yeah, it was fun. I definitely recommend it. Number three is scuba dive. And this was yours. And yeah. I, to be honest, I probably will never scuba dive. I don't like, I like the idea of scuba diving. I don't like it enough to actually be like, it's something I have to do.
I just want to like show the record, as Dallas says, sure. That the top three deal with the ocean and you didn't like any of them. So
no, I like the cruise. I like parasailing. It's
those are the ones that like get you antsy. So scuba diving is one that I know is something that you don't want to do. It's something that I want to do. And then the next one is something you want to do that I did not. But scuba diving, now that we're back in Florida, it is something that I will absolutely do. I've actually been looking into it because there's a place between here and Gulf Breeze, like when you're going to Midway, that does scuba diving. And I just need to put a little more effort into it. I definitely would rather do it, like scuba diving is one of the excursions we were going to do on a cruise. That one I wanted to do it, I would have done it, but those do make me a little more skeptical because they're just a money turnover.
Yeah,
those kind of scuba diving things. But like here I would feel more comfortable doing it, knowing like it's a licensed place that like you have to go out of your way to go there and be like, hey, I want to scuba dive. It's not like I'm on vacation and there just happens to be something that's available to me. And so I will probably mark that off of my list while we are here this time. Just got to do a little more research on the company because the building looks a little bit shady.
You can count me out. I don't want to scuba dive. I don't want to be underwater. The next one was my, so number four was run a marathon, which I did back in 2018, which was great. I wish I was back in that run shape because it was awesome. But man, it's hard. If you're not like a, just somebody that loves running, it's hard. It's hard to do that. And I don't love running that. I like to run, but not like that.
Yeah, I don't like to run at all. Like, and for those of you who have listened for a while, my right knee has like no cartilage in it. So it's literally just bone on bones grinding together. And I have to get those like shots in my knee every 6 months that basically puts fluid so my bones don't like grind on each other. So just like thinking about running for almost 27 miles, just, ugh, it makes my bones ache.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think even if I was like healthy and an avid runner, I just see no benefit to running 26 miles.
it's just to say that you did it.
Yeah, I think like, it's 100% a mental game.
It is. At the end, it is.
But, you know, there are times, like, I tell myself, there is no way I would ever run a marathon, ever. Or a half marathon. I don't even like doing 5Ks. Like, I like doing them for the benefit, but not, like, whatever the 5K is for. But not just, like, to go out and do a 5K. But then, you know, we did the Spartan race, and the longest Spartan race was a half marathon with some shit in between it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, do I want to do it? No. Like, if I really needed to for some reason, could I probably get through one? It would take me a long time, but yeah, I could probably power through.
Yeah, marathon. I've wanted to run another one, but yeah, I probably won't do another one. Because that was rough. The training was rough.
You did a half marathon after the fact, and that seemed like more feasible.
Yeah, and it was. I felt worse after that one because I didn't train for that one like I did for the marathon. Because when I started training for the marathon, I was all in, and that's all I did. I dropped everything else, and you're supposed to do some cross training, but I didn't. I ran and I ran, and then for the half marathon, I did a little bit of running, but nowhere near what I was doing for the full marathon. And that half marathon fucking sucked. I was so sore. I was worse off after that marathon, that half marathon, than I was after the marathon.
You had like a very rigorous running plan for your actual marathon, and you stuck to it. Like, you didn't deviate from it.
Yeah.
You ran the runs that were on the training plan, and you like followed through with them. Whereas when it was for your half marathon, I think you were the mindset, like, I already ran a marathon, so like 13 miles shouldn't be that big of a deal. But that one did. You were struggling at the end of that one.
It was rough. So number five was see the Northern Lights, which is
definitely
cool.
Still want to do that.
We'll get there eventually. Like, I want to go to Alaska. I would like to take that vacation, that trip up there, and then go see the Northern Lights up there.
Yep. There are like many places to see the Northern Lights. Alaska just is the easy button to see them. If I had the option to see them anywhere, I would like to go to Iceland, I think. Maybe.
You're talking about where Lyles was at?
That's Greenland.
Yeah. Was it Greenland? Yeah.
Greenland, yeah. I don't remember. One of those lands, Iceland, Greenland, one of those countries, which is like the best place to see them. Maybe it is Greenland. Like the best place, the best view of them. But I have heard like they're beautiful in Alaska. I looked at taking an Alaskan cruise, so back to cruising, an Alaskan cruise, but from where the cruise goes, you can't see the Northern Lights, so you have to get off and, like, basically take an excursion to go see them, and it just, if the timing lines up, will you be able to see them? But I would like to, like, very strategically go during the time of the Northern Lights to be able to see them. But yeah, it's for sure something that I'll still want
to
do.
Yeah, that'd be cool to do. I mean, that will stay on the list. Number six was New Year's Eve in New York City.
Yep.
So we took a trip to New York City. It was actually 4th of July, so we got to see all the fireworks right off of, where was that? Near the Brooklyn Bridge? I don't remember. No. It was over the river.
Yeah.
Where they did the fireworks, and it was awesome. But the whole New York trip was awesome in itself. But New Year's Eve, like, we were there during the summer, and we went to Times Square, and it was a fucking madhouse. Like, I don't know if it was always like that, or is because it was summer. I don't know.
I think it's just that is New York, and it was just for me an experience, but so overwhelming.
Yeah, that's I was like, this is just normal. I can only imagine how New Year's Eve it will be. Like, we did New Year's Eve in Vegas on the Strip one time, and they shut down all of the Strip. Like, there's no through traffic during New Year's Eve because the party is out on the Strip, and you are shoulder to shoulder on that fucking Strip. And
yeah, so if you've been to Vegas ever. Like, we're not talking about sidewalks. We're talking about like the
road,
Las Vegas Boulevard, the actual road. So it's like from the Bellagio on one side to Planet Hollywood on the other. Like, people are in the street all the way across. The roads are barricaded. And I remember at one point, like, we just found this fucking crazy guy who was, like, running through. Like, everybody was kind of splitting for him. And we were like, hey, just get behind that guy and, like, follow him through the crowd because it's the only way to, like, get through. But, yeah, New York City was awesome. I completely have a different opinion on going there on New Year's Eve now.
Yeah, no, I would. So I'd take that one off the list because I don't want to go during New Year's Eve. I wouldn't mind taking another trip to New York. But, that was madness. Number seven is a hot air balloon ride.
I still want to do that.
I want to do it. It'd be cool. I'm still skeptical. Like, it's weird how it works. You're just in a fucking balloon, hundreds of feet up in the air.
Yeah. That's something I still want to do. They have like these hot air balloon festivals in Fredericksburg, Texas. Like, I looked into a couple times, but those get me nervous because there's like 100 hot air balloons in the same area, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. But I definitely something I would like to do still.
Number eight is have a wedding slash anniversary party. So we never had a legit wedding. I mean, we've done stuff for our anniversary, but we never had a wedding. So that one's more so yours.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to have a wedding, but I think when we first got like engaged and we were looking at stuff for a wedding, number one is just overwhelming and just so much money to basically like allow other people to see you getting married. But I would like to have just some sort of party where we like all got together. And just, I don't know how to explain it, but like, I still would like to have it, but definitely I don't see a point in it being on the 50 before 50. Like, it's not something that it's like, if I don't do this, it'll be something that I'll look back on. I'm like, oh, I wish I did that.
When we're millionaires, we'll throw one. number nine was zip line to Alps.
Yeah, definitely still want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. It's fucking scary. But we ziplined before, and it was a trip.
Yeah. Where do we zip line at?
Gatlinburg. Yeah, it was fun. And then the next three are, so one's attend a World Series, the other one's attend a Super Bowl, the other one's attend the NBA Finals. So, like, those big-time games go to one of those, which I think eventually we will. I'm assuming. We'll see. I think
so. We went to an NBA Finals game when the Spurs were there.
I don't know if it was an NBA's Finals game.
I don't...
What year was it? Because I don't think it was a finals game. It might have been a playoff game, but I don't think it was a finals game.
I would have to like look back at pictures because I remember specifically like, and I'm not gonna like name drop because I know she's like very weird about social media and having her name out there. But one of my coworkers, her dad is like good friends with. Anyways, like, long story short, she knew somebody who had tickets, and they got them for a bunch of people we worked with, and I'm pretty sure it was a finals game there in San Antonio when we were there.
Because I think, yeah, well, I don't know. Anyways, I would like to go to one. It'd be cool to go to a series, but I can imagine tickets are fucking stupid expensive.
Oh, yeah.
If we could only go to one, definitely want to go to Super Bowl. That's it.
Yeah. like, for me, I just don't, like, the World Series would be awesome. That's really all of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be fun. Number 13 was get and stay debt-free. So we've became debt-free a couple of times. We've never stayed debt-free.
No, I think, so what normally happens to us is, it was in 2013 and it was a finals game. What normally happens to us is we will get debt free and we'll be like in a really good spot. And then the Air Force is like, hey, it's time to move. And then we move and you get all homeowners costs.
Yeah.
And I don't think people who like buy a home and stay there for a long time really understand like the amount of money that it takes to literally set up a new home in a whole new state, like all the things that you need.
Well, I think being in the military, you probably, not, I don't want to say get used to it, but you experience it a lot more. Unless you're jumping from like job to job or from city to city. Yeah. But I like off the top of my head, I can't think of any jobs that are similar to the military where you're like, you're moving every few years. So you're probably either buying a new house. If not, you're renting a new place or whatever, which still has a whole lot of costs that come with it from moving from place to place. But like even if you got a new job, you're probably not switching cities. You're probably staying in the same place. So you don't have to get a new house, a new apartment, whatever, a new place. You don't have to figure all that stuff out and spend all that money.
The thing that normally gets us is like, and this isn't an excuse. Like, we should like get debt free and stay debt free. That's like something, a goal that we have, something that I want to keep on the list, something I want to do.
Yes.
But it's the small stuff. Like, we will typically buy a home wherever we move to. But then when
you make us sound like ballers.
But then when it's time to leave, we will sell that house. Or that's what we have done on the past couple bases. Like, we'll buy the house and then we'll sell it a little bit before. And then we live in like an apartment or some arbitrary, but like we'll live in base housing or we'll live in an apartment or we'll rent a house or something for like the last little bit after our house is sold. And you just get rid of stuff in those instances, like your fridge, your lawnmower, your washer and dryer, like whatever.
It's that, just shit that is, they're not everyday expenses that you're used to.
And then
to.
You move into a new house and you're like, oh shit, I need a fridge. Oh shit, I need a lawnmower and weed eater. I need a freaking new gas can. And you like start adding all these like what you think are little costs. And then you're like, oh shit, I just spent $5,000.
Yeah, it just adds up to a lot. And while getting into a new place is cool, the costs that come with it suck.
And no house is ever the same. So, like, you'll have your stuff and you'll lay it out. And then you'll be like, oh, look, there's a huge-ass fucking empty space. I need, like, a breakfast table or whatever the case may be.
Well, I mean, you don't need it, but
I need it.
Yeah. Another goal. Get debt-free again.
Yes.
Number 14 was travel to Europe, which I definitely want to do, like, just as regular travel. So, I've been lucky enough to go to Germany. Yeah. So part of Europe, go to Germany and didn't get a chance to really like travel. I got to see parts of Germany, which was cool, but actually travel Europe, like how most people do the backpacking or take train rides to the different countries that are there. Yeah. That would be awesome to do. Like eventually we'll do that. That one's for sure.
So you went to Germany. I went to Ireland on like a stopover. So I didn't get to like travel or explore or experience it. I just happened to have my layover in Ireland on the way to Afghanistan. But definitely like there will be other things on the list of like do this or do that. But traveling Europe, like not just going to an arbitrary place in Europe, but like actually like what you said,
yeah,
you know, going to one country and hitting all those other small countries around there.
Yeah, like hitting the touristy spots.
Yeah,
right. And it'd be nice to see like some of the countryside of
put some stamps on our passport.
Yeah. Number 15 was go to Greece. So I mean, that would fall into traveling over there.
Yeah, like Greece is a specific one. That one was probably another one that like I was something that I wanted to put on there. Like I want to go to Greece, but like just Greece. I don't want to go on like a, hey, we're going to hit other spots. Like when I go to Greece, I want to spend that set amount of time just in that country experiencing it.
Yeah.
It's definitely top of my list of things I want to do.
Number 16 was see the Eiffel Tower at night. So that would be something that we would do when we travel to Europe. Number 17 was get a Spartan trifecta, which we did that same year.
That we made the list.
Yeah. Which was cool because we hadn't really planned it out properly, but we did that first.
That was terrible.
Yeah, we did that first.
We did that really stupidly.
Yeah, we did that first Spartan race with Chewy, like, in August or something like that, right? Mm-mm. Maybe it was earlier.
Did we do the first one with him? Like, the first one ever?
Yeah, we did it out in Austin, like, right outside of Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And we ran that one, and that was just to run a Spartan race. And then when we ran it, like, we figured out, oh, you can do a trifecta, where if you do all three in a year, you get this really big-ass medal, which is cool to have, and it's just bragging rights, right? And we were like, well, let's fucking do it. And
so when you do a Spartan race, you get a medal, like a necklace, like a medallion, like you do for everything. But with a Spartan race, there are three major races. We've talked about them on here a bunch before. But with each race you do, you get like a piece of the pie. It's like a third of a circle. And the only way you can complete that whole circle is if you do every race. And then all three of those pieces like magnet together to make a big medal. And so when we did the Super with Chewy, the blue one, that's when we were like, what the fuck is this little piece? And they were like, oh, you gotta do all the races. And they clicked together.
Yeah. Yeah, so we ended up doing that. We ran two of the races in one weekend, which was the Beast, the longest one, and then the shortest one, back-to-back, which was tough, but it was a good time.
I'm kind of like you with the marathon, half-marathon thing on that. I was way more, like, tore up after the Super than I was after we did the Beast and the Sprint back-to-back.
Yeah, because we didn't really train that much for the one that we did with Chewy. And then we trained a little bit going into the last two that we did. But I think what helped out was after we did the Beast, so we did the long one first, and then the next day we did the 5K one, the Sprint. I think it kind of worked out all the soreness that we had from the first one. And
That's fair.
Didn't leave us in such bad shape as we did with the first race.
But we want to do it again.
Yes.
That's something we want to do again.
Yeah. We actually want to do it all in one weekend, all three races in one weekend.
That seems dumb.
It seems like a good challenge. Oof. I want to do it. All right. Number 18 was open a gym. I'd take this one off. This was mine, and it was kind of it was what I wanted to do way back when CrossFit was like huge, because I was a big CrossFit fanatic, and that's all I wanted, just my own gym, CrossFit, get in shape, get a bunch of people in shape, and just have a gym. Not the case anymore. Yeah, like I don't even do CrossFit anymore. I can't, and I don't want like just a fucking bodybuilding gym or powerhouse gym, like none of that stuff. I can't see myself doing that.
Yeah, like I would say that's one of the ones that like you for sure put on the list. Like I would be there to back your business endeavors. It's not something that is like a goal of mine, I would say.
Yeah, I would take that one off. Number 19, I think this one was yours, going on a humanitarian trip.
Yeah, I still want to do that. I don't know if it would be something that I like, hey, this, I want to put this on this particular list, but it's definitely something that I'm passionate about, something that I would like to do, something I've always wanted to do since I was a teenager. But I just think, like, even now, like, going through this list, it almost seems like a... Like, who are you to think you should be able to do all these things?
Yeah.
And then...
I mean, this is how it starts.
Yeah. But then, like, humanitarian, it's just taking that time of where you know you could be doing something that you want, like, something you enjoy, but, like, instead you're taking that time to give back to people who literally will never have any, like, even... small smidge of a chance to do any of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not like I feel guilty or anything, but it's just like a personal thing for me. Like I would like to be able to go give back to these places that are just like really need help.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if it's something that like needs to be on this list, but definitely something that I still want to do.
So the next two, I want to do. I don't know if I'll ever do them. And if I don't, won't feel too bad. But so number 20 is skydiving and number 21 is bungee jumping, which
yeah, I still want to do both of those things.
Yeah, like I want to do them. I'm just weighing risk versus not even reward. It's kind of just like experience. It's not something that if I don't get around to doing them, I won't be hurt. I won't.
Yeah, I feel that way about a lot of these things. Like, they're definitely something that I still want to do. But, like, going skydiving is something that it is probably in the top of the things that I want to do. Bungee jumping, like, I still would like to do it, but...
Yeah.
That's one of those, like, now that I'm older and I, like, can put a little more thought behind, like, you're literally a fucking rubber band. I don't know if that's something I want to do, but...
And that's how I feel about it. Like, when I was young, oh, man, I would have jumped at the chance to go skydiving. I have a buddy, he's posting all these pictures on Facebook about skydiving, and he's, like, doing jump after jump after jump, which is cool, but I don't know. Like, it's cool to It's kind of like it gives you a thrill.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I want to do both of them. But it, like you said, I don't know if they need to be on here. But for sure, I don't know if bungee jumping needs to be on there. Skydiving, yes, I would want to leave that on there.
All right, number 22 is see the Great Wall of China.
Yeah,
well, we'll see if we'll ever be able to do that.
It's just not something that, like, I think now, like, with society the way it is, it's just,
yeah.
Like, it's one of those things that, yes, it's crazy to me, like, to think that that was something that was able to be built in the times that it was built in.
Mm-hmm.
Something I would like to go travel, like, walk along the Great Wall of China. But definitely not something on this list. I wouldn't go out of my way to go there.
Yeah. Have you seen those? It usually comes out like on my Facebook feed as like an advertisement or something. But it says like reality or Instagram versus reality or whatever.
Yeah.
And people like have these amazing pictures of like the Great Wall of China, for instance. But then you zoom out and look at reality and it's just like packed with fucking people that you can barely walk on there. And so it's never like this. It's kind of how I felt about the pyramids whenever we visited them on the cruise in Mexico.
Yeah, like the Mayan ruins.
Where you were expecting to see like this magnificent fucking pyramid. Like granted, like the historical thing is amazing. But when you see it, you think it's just going to be this grand thing or like the Alamo. If you've never been to the Alamo, yes, the first time you go to the Alamo, you're expecting this grand thing that's just going to be majestic, and you see it, you're like, this is it.
Totally walked past it and didn't know what it was, and you're like, that's the Alamo.
Yeah,
and I was like, what?
Like if you blink,
like, no,
you'll miss the Alamo, and that's kind of how I feel about these things, where it'd be cool to say like, yeah, I've been there, I've seen it. But other than that, some of them tend to be very underwhelming.
Like there is a couple more on here and that will probably like go into a lot of them. But there are still some on here that I would like to still go to, but the Great Wall of China just isn't one of them.
Yeah. Go to Masquerade Ball. That's an all you thing.
Yeah. I want to do that so bad. I've always wanted to. I just find it so like. I don't know.
Like, who has masquerade balls?
There's actually, like, a lot of them. Mainly, it's, I won't say mainly, like, most times where you can find them, it's like a charity type thing.
So you gotta have a lot of money.
Yes. Like, I'm not spending $10,000
on a plate,
on a table, you know? but it's something that I want to do. I want to, like, and I think this stems from just being in the military, like being a woman in the military. I want to get dressed up in a ball gown and be fancy and like go out and be actually able to be fancy. Because when we have things like ceremonies or award things where it's like, oh, you see all these women in like these beautiful gowns and their hair's done, and their makeup's done, and they're just. And then I'm in uniform and I'm like, damn, like I just want to be like able to be fancy. I don't know. And I think a masquerade ball is just something so so cool about it. I don't know. That's a very childish word, but I don't know if it needs to be on this list, but it's definitely something that I want to do.
I mean, I'll go with you, but I can't promise you that I'll have a good time.
A tuxedo.
Oh, man.
Funny story, side note. Today we were having dinner at the table and you hopped in the shower because we went to the beach today. And Elena was like, man, Dad's taking forever. He's probably putting on a tuxedo. And Dallas was like, did you say Dad's wearing a Speedo? And just like their whole interaction together was freaking funny. All right.
Dang, kids. All right. I'm going to like just run through these real quick because we're already at an hour. But so where we left off 24. At number 24 is go to Niagara Falls, which we plan to do.
Yep. It's on the list.
Yeah, it's on the list. That's staying. See the Grand Canyon. We've seen the Grand Canyon. We haven't seen the Grand Canyon as a family, so that's something we have to do. The Pyramids of Giza.
That's one of the ones that's like reality versus
because they're like right next to, they're basically in the city.
Yeah, and you can't go up to them. Like, you can't go to them, but there's still something like I would love to go to Egypt and see them.
Yeah. Yeah. I still want to do that too. Visit Italian vineyards. Oh man. I'm just like, that's something I just want to go spend a week in
Florence.
In Florence in a vineyard in one of those, like, what's the movie Under the Tuscan Sun? That's what I want to do. Just watch that movie. That's what I want to do.
What's the one where she, like, gets the house and she fixes it up?
That's Under the Tuscan Sun.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought that was a different one.
No.
That one.
Number 28 was see a Statue of Liberty, which we did on a New York trip. Yep. Visit the White House, number 29. We done that with the kids, so that was cool. See Mount Rushmore. I've never seen it. I definitely want to go.
Yeah, I'm just, South Dakota sucks.
31, travel to Fiji.
Still want to do that.
32, have lunch with a movie star.
That was a you thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd take that one off the list. Like, just celebrities in general are kind of, they're weird to me.
Maybe Keanu Reeves. That's about the only,
like,
person.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can ever be genuine, because, like, you see these celebrities. My thing is, like, people get all excited. Like, oh, yeah, I saw this person, or I got this person autographs. Like, hey, that's cool. But, like, you actually want to have a real interaction with them.
Yeah.
Like, when we were talking to Moy, and he was like, yeah, I fucking hung out with George Lopez. Like, that's cool. Like, that would be awesome to do, like, to have that kind of interaction with a celebrity. Not like, hey, I waved hi to George Lopez one time. That was about it.
Yeah.
Like, you have just have a genuine conversation with them or whatever. That would be cool. So that would be my thing. Number 32, just have hang out with a celebrity, I guess. Like, where you don't have to pay them. They're just kind of like, just like what you would with any friend.
I find it interesting, but it's not something that, like, it's one of the things, like, if I did it, I wouldn't feel bad about
it. Yeah. Visit San Francisco. And that goes into, so one of the things is that we want to see all the 50 states and basically go to all, like, the big name cities that people travel to all the time.
Yeah.
San Francisco being one of
them. We've been to California multiple times, so I think San Francisco is a little bit different, but, like, I would like to see San Francisco, but also I've heard, like, it's very trashy now. Like, yeah. It's just run down as a city.
Record a song. I've done that way back in my prime.
I have no desire.
Have lunch in Central Park, which we did.
Yes.
go to New Orleans and Mardi Gras.
Yep.
That's off the list. Because we went to New Orleans. We went to, what is it called? The French Quarter? Not the French Quarter.
Bourbon Street.
That was an experience. And it was just for one night.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That was enough. See Stonehenge.
Still want to do that.
Yeah. Oktoberfest, Oktoberfest in Germany. That'd be cool to do.
Yeah, that's still something I want
to
do.
Visit Tokyo. See the Taj Mahal. Yep. Visit Amsterdam. Yep. Go to Dead Sea.
Yep.
Travel by boat in Venice. I heard that water smells like shit.
Yeah, I heard it's terrible, but it's something I still want to do.
Explore the Mayan ruins, which we didn't explore, but we saw them.
I mean, we walked around that whole little...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Go whitewater rafting.
Yeah,
that would be fun. Drive the coast of California in a convertible.
That's a Holly thing. You totally want to do that. We can do that while we're in San Francisco.
It's a fucking country song. attend the CrossFit Games. I really don't want to do that anymore. The CrossFit Games aren't what they used to be.
No.
They're actually happening now. They have this weird format to get there. Yeah. I think they actually have, like, how it used to
be when people would, like, get there based strictly on their skill.
Yeah.
That's when I was interested. Now it's just like, I don't give a shit about CrossFit.
Yeah, CrossFit's just not the same. So I'm not worried about that one. Earn master's degree. I don't care about my master's anymore. You got yours.
Yeah.
And then set foot on all 7 continents.
That would be interesting, but also, like, I don't know how I feel about Antarctica. We got 3 out of the 7.
Yeah. And then travel through all 50 states. So here's my thing with the 50 states. So we'll do this and then we'll wrap it up. We'll be done. But the 50 states. So what constitutes as visiting a state? Is like just driving through? Is it spending a night there? Is it... You have to go visit the, like, what it's known for.
I think just saying, like, going to the state and, like, being there. Not, like, necessarily, hey, I drove on I-10 all the way through the state. I don't think that should count. But, I mean, there are states on here that I've been to that you haven't, and states that you've been to that I haven't. Like, Colorado, you've been there. I've never. Michigan, I've been there. You've never. Those type of things. So, I don't know. I think it would be, like, actually going there and, like, not necessarily seeing a landmark or something, but intentionally going there for something, not, like, in a pass-by.
Yeah. There's got to be, we got to come up with, like, a rule, like, hey, we went to that place, we stayed the night, we had a beer, we had dinner, we saw whatever. Yeah. Like, we did the most local thing possible that you can do, or something like that. I don't know.
So, before you wrap up, is there anything that you would like to add to the list that you can think of off the top?
Not off the top of my head.
No?
No. But, like, if I sat down and think about it, I think the list would be quite different than what it is now.
Definitely different.
And a before 50? I don't know.
You're coming up quick there, old man.
Yeah. Yeah. I got 10 years. I don't know. So you think about your life in increments of 10. So soon I'll have 4. They're drastically different.
Yes.
Like, my first 10 years of life were totally different from, it sounds stupid to say, but like, my 20s were really different from my 30s. And I think, my 40s, I don't know. I can't really articulate what I'm trying to say and the way I'm thinking about it. But
I feel it. Like, one of the phrases that I hate the most, I think it's so true, is like, you're just different people. Like, when people are like, I'm a different person than I was when I was 20. I hate that phrase the most, because I don't think you're a different person. I think you've just grown from your experiences. But I do think my experiences in my 20s made me see the world how I saw it, or how I see it in my 30s. And by the time that I get to my 40s, like, what I saw in my 20s and my 30s will give me a different outlook than what I had before.
Yeah.
So I don't think it makes me a new person. I think it just gives me a different outlook, I shall say. But yes, like, when I look back through my 20s, I'm like, where I'm at now, sitting at the age I am now, I'm just like, I probably did some dumb shit back then. Like, I was just, had a different outlook on life. Like, so the years and tens will look very differently, because hopefully you learn from some of the shit you did and just became better, or created a different outlook to look forward to.
Yeah, it's different for sure.
But if you haven't sat down with your spouse and just kind of, like, or your best friend or whoever your person is, and just kind of figured out, like, hey, what are some big ticket items that, like, you really want to accomplish? I highly recommend, like, taking that time to do it, even if it's, like, you don't have to make 50 things. You know, you could be like, hey, let's do 10 things that we want to do in the next 10 years, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But, like, they don't even have to be reasonable. Like, shit, what are the chances we're really going to go to the Super Bowl and the World Series before we turn 50? Probably not high, but it's just something that we would like to do. So take the time and just at least find out what's important to your person, and try to push them along the way to accomplish some of those things.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like goals. Like if you have goals, you should write them down. Like, it's weird. And they always say that too, like, just write down all your goals, or like this, just write down everything that you want to do, and you'll be surprised, like, within, give it a certain time span, how much of that you have done, or how much of your goals you have accomplished, simply by, because the act of writing it down kind of, like, puts it in the back of your head. And then you subconsciously, like, work through it, or work towards it.
I think people think about things, and I do this all the time, where it's like, for example, my master's. I was like, man, I really want a master's degree. Like, for no other reason than, like, why not get one? Like, nobody in my family has ever had one. I can go to school and get it. Like, I just wanted to have it. But, and this is probably a bad example, but there are things I think about, like, seeing the Northern Lights, that they're not everyday thoughts in my mind. So I write them down, and then I have this list to go back to, like, oh, shit, yeah, I did want to go to Alaska and see the Northern Lights or whatever. And then again, you can reassess, like we're doing, looking at this list that we created however many years ago. And now we're like, oh, some of this shit's kind of not in our purview anymore.
Yeah. You just adjust and keep going. Yes, indeed. All right. So we're going to wrap it up there. We're well over an hour. Don't forget to check out the website. Subscribe to the podcast. Check out our Facebook and Instagram. Follow us, subscribe, give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And yeah, just hook us up, continue to listen. And thanks for all the love and support, babes.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Peace out, Cub Scouts. We'll see y'all next week. Later.